The Holy Gospel according to Matthew, the second chapter. In the time of King Herod, after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, asking, "Where is the child who has been born King of the Jews? For we have observed the star at its rising and have come to pay him homage." When King Herod heard this, he was frightened, and all Jerusalem with him, and calling together all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Messiah was to be born. They told him, "In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it has been written by the prophet, 'And you, Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who is to shepherd my people Israel.' Then Herod secretly called for the wise men and learned from them the exact time when the star had appeared. Then he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, 'Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, so that I may also go and pay him homage.' When they had heard the king, they set out, and there ahead of them went the star that they had seen at its rising, until it stopped over the place where the child was. When they saw that the star had stopped, they were overwhelmed with joy. On entering the house, they saw the child with Mary, his mother, and they knelt down and paid him homage. Then, opening their treasure chest, they offered him gifts of gold, frankincense, and myrrh. And having been warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they left for their own country by another road." The Gospel of the Lord. Thank you, and you may be seated. Today in my homily or sermon, I would like to share three things with you, or three insights that I personally found in these texts. The first is to encourage you and me to be wise men and be searchers, specifically people who search for Jesus in our lives. Secondly, watch out for Herod and all that is evil in this world, and follow the wise men who they returned a different way because they needed to get away from Herod and would not report what they had experienced. And thirdly, have an understanding about Paul's mission and the Gentiles. Now, I've already done the children's sermon, but I just want to remind you, if you were listening to the Old Testament reading, did you notice all these camels that are going to come? And did you notice all the nations would understand who Israel is and who this God is? And so today, we live that Old Testament text, the wise men and the camels. And I pointed out to the kids, there's only two camels and three wise men, so either one of them walked or they really were squished on that other camel. And that brings us to the point of how critical should you be as a Christian to the texts. And I would say it's okay to be critical, because the text does not tell us there were three wise men. But it is the word men, which is a plural noun, which means there are a bunch of them. So it could have been three, it could have been 100, it could have been a whole bunch. That's not what's really important. What's as important is they came, and that Christ was born. And why three? Well, they had three gifts. And so the tradition punches in the number three. And so when we sing hymns about the wise men, we talk about three of them. It's okay to question. It's not okay to come up with the wrong answers. So be like the wise men. Search for what is true. Follow the star of Bethlehem. Believe in God. Believe in Jesus, the Christ child. And give thanks that because he died and because he rose again, when our families go through death experiences, because we're Christian, we can have the confidence and the reality that there's more to life than what you see here. And there's a lot of people that are constantly searching. I heard on the news this week that the Chinese have landed something on the other side of the moon, We haven't been there yet. So thank God for the Chinese searchers. And what we're doing is we sent out some kind of a satellite that just recently passed Pluto. Now, I don't mind driving by Merrill, but I don't understand flying past Pluto. But there are people in our culture who just search and want to do it better. And we need to support that kind of thinking. And that's why in our annual meeting, you'll hear a conversation about faith formation in the life of this church. It's like flying to the moon. It's finding a better way to do what we're doing. And this taking home faith, I think, has been in the bulletins for a long time. This comes from Milestones Ministry, which is part of Vibrant Faith, which comes out of Minneapolis, out of Augsburg College. And it's a group of people that are committed to making Christianity more effective in the future. We've done a good job in the past, but the things in the past may not work for the future. Our young people might need a new challenge. They may need to fly a different way. And so we need to be open to creating systems in the life of this church that will build faith for our children and our teenagers. And it'll probably look different than what I experienced, but we're for it. So be at the annual meeting and read the report. And I just encourage this congregation to continue flowing in this idea of creating new ways to form faith in the life of our children, teens, and adults, and our families. And that taking home faith is really what it's all about. Secondly, watch out for Herod. Follow the wise men. A few minutes ago, we had confession and forgiveness. You know, let's not forget, we're really sinners, saved by grace. And every week, we probably do some things that we really need this Sunday confession and forgiveness for. And it's important for us to get in touch with the dark side of our life, the things that we know we shouldn't do that we do, this struggle Paul had and you will have, where sometimes you feel guilty. You feel depressed. You feel like a failure. You feel like you're not making it. You're not good enough. That's what confession and forgiveness is about. It cleans us up so that we can feel whiter than snow. And let's not forget, there's a lot of people who don't come to confession and forgiveness, and they've really learned to live with the evil that is in them. And they also enhance it. Let us not be like that. But let us realize we live in a world in which there are people who don't always treat us right. There are people who go around shooting at people with guns. There are people that hurt other people. Let's take a different road. And when you're aware of that in your everyday living, see what the wise men did. They took a different way. They stayed away from that kind of thing. For the sake of our children and our teenagers, let's be conscious of the evil that's out there. And let us warn and talk about the other way. And then lastly, the wise men were Gentiles. You know what a Gentile is? I asked somebody this week, well, what's a Gentile? They looked at me kind of funny and, it must be a gentle person. That's close. That's real close. But that's not what a Gentile is. If any of you have Jewish ancestry, you're not a Gentile. But if you're like me, kind of a mixed dog, I've got German, I've got Swiss, I've got some French, I think. You know, I really don't know what I got in me. And I'm not really too concerned about my ethnic background because I'm an American. And we believe that we're all together. Sometimes. Gentiles are people that knew who they were and they weren't allowed in the Jewish life. Checked out this week, there's a Jewish synagogue here in Wausau. My plans before I leave here is to check that place out. They're on the web. It was pretty good. It's called Mount Sinai. Someplace in the northern part of the city. In Paul's daytime, all the Christians would have been at the synagogue because that early group was all Jewish. Now, we fight about a lot of things in the church. Hopefully, we don't fight about who gets in. and who stays outside. That was the early church conflict. The Jewish community said, if you want to be a Christian, you got to give up your ham and eggs. You got to start coming to synagogue on Saturday. You got to eat, go through these kosher laws. All the men have to get circumcised. That was what was going on in the Gentile Christian Jewish community. Paul's mission, if you look at the front of your bulletin, you see the wise men, baby Jesus and Mary, in these words, to bring to the Gentiles, the non-Jewish people, to bring to the Gentiles the news of the boundless riches of Christ. I'm so thankful Paul was successful, or I wouldn't be here. I would still be out there outside of the boundless riches of Christ. You are here. And what does this say to you? This should say to you and me that we want everybody. There is nobody that's not welcome here at St. Andrew. We'll take all of them. We'll do whatever we have to do to let this community know that the people of this church love, care for you. We're not a bunch of people who are cliques around a Lutheran tradition, but we are people who are open to welcoming all people. Bring their questions, bring their struggles, bring their money. You come, join us. We're all together. We're with you. Let's get that message out. And as we think about the future of this congregation, let's not look back. Look forward. Because the cause or the reason we're here is for the future, not the past. Paul knew that. He said, get rid of all those Jewish traditions. Welcome all people. Struggle with what it means to be a Christian. Struggle with what it means to love and show grace and care in your life and your community. And do it for everybody. It'll change our world. It'll change our city. It'll change you and me. Let us be those kind of people. And let us be wise men. Continue to be searchers. Let us watch out for evil. And let us welcome all people. Amen.